I am Tom Holland, and this is Fitness Disrupted 2.0. If you can see what goes on in this studio. It's never boring. Great show, if I do say so myself, and I do, because it comes from a question from a listener. I have yet to do, I think, a listener mailbag show for this new Fitness Disrupted 2.0. I did many back in the Fitness Disrupted 400-plus shows, new feed. But this one I love, and I said, I'm doing a whole show based on this because it's such a great question. It's so good. And so thank you. I'm not going to name names. She will know when she hears it. So she reached out, by the way, I say at the end of every show, why don't I say it at the beginning of this one, Tom H. Fit, Instagram, Twitter, just about everything. Social media wise, Tom H. Fit. So if you have a question, comment, direct message me. I woke up, got my, looked at my messages and this was there. And I said, I'm doing a show on that today. And it's about the overload principle. And it's about getting older and all that goes with that. And so let me read you her phenomenal question. Here it is. And I quote, I understand the concept of progressive overload. However, not sure how it should be applied to me. I'm 57 and have been lifting heavy for about a year. My son, 20 amateur trainer, says I should increase my weights every week. I'm pretty sure I'm not growing up to be a power lifter. I love that line, growing up. 57, by the way, I personally am 53, so I can empathize with this age group. I don't want to get, it's really important. I'm pretty sure I'm not growing up to be a power lifter. I don't want to get hurt. I switch things up with sets and reps, the order of things, etc. Just not sure how far to take it. Sun says I should be able to deadlift my body weight and increase from there. I don't know. Any words of wisdom? And then she compliments me. Thank you very much. Blah, blah, blah. Thank you for this phenomenal question. Gosh, it's so good because it hits on so much in this fitness world. Let me start by saying, I'm sure you love your son. I'm sure I would love him if I knew him as well. He's 20. He's 20. He doesn't know what he doesn't know. His body is, going to allow him. He could stay out all night. At 57, I'm 53. We, our bodies don't do what they used to. Does that mean we don't push it at our age? Not even close. Ran across the Grand Canyon for the first time 2 years ago. One of the farthest I'd ever run. I did at age 51. So yes, we're going to push ourselves. But again, I love your son without knowing him, but he's 20. And he has a little bit of information, which can be dangerous. He knows what the overload principle is. But I shouldn't even say that. He knows the concept. But there's so much more to it. And you actually, in your question, hit on many of them. And so that's what this show is about. I have talked about the overload principle, innumerable times, and I will continue to, because it is such an important part of exercise and change. But it doesn't just mean you go heavy. It doesn't just mean that. And that's what, if you read textbooks and, at first glance, that's what you're going to take away from it. Sure, you got to go heavier and heavier. No. And let me just input myself here really quickly. At 53, having lifted for a long time, decades, and again, I'm not the normal person, but most of you who have lifted for a long time were similar in that I don't raise my weights every week. I don't raise my weights every month. Now, we can go body part by body part, exercise by exercise. Let me just throw it. I use 15-pound dumbbells. Sometimes I use 17 and a half. Do I increase every week? Absolutely not even close. I'm going to talk about what I do form-wise and things like that to make it more challenging. But what we're going to end up talking about is failure. We're going to talk about stress. We're going to talk about challenging your muscles. But it is not about increasing the weight every week. And let me quote you one more just random Instagram post. There's another reason I wanted to do this topic, because I had seen this one first. And then I got this great message and I said, again, this is going to be a show. I want to do it right away. And so this is just a fitness person I know on social media. And he posted, the biggest myth I once bought into, you have to stop training heavy after 40. Change my mind. And one of the great responses, aren't the responses always some of the best posts? It's not the post itself, like on Twitter, social media, you know, or Facebook, whatever, Instagram. It's the responses that are phenomenal. And someone posted something to the effect of, go ahead and try it, and then you'll get your answer. Right? So let me just stop for a second, and let's define what's heavy. Right? So I don't know. I wish I could speak with this person, the one who had the great question. She said, I'm 57 and have been lifting heavy for about a year. That could be, is that 3 rep? You know, sets? Is it 6 rep sets with super heavy weights? Is it 8? Are you doing 1 reps? I mean, are you max, you know, lifting bench press for max 1 rep, you know, PR type reps, sets, numbers? So I don't know. And that's important. But let me say this. And I say it pretty much at least once a week in one of my 3 shows. And I was at the gym this morning, and I see so many people lifting weights that are too heavy with bad form. They are decreasing their results, and they are increasing their likelihood of injury. I am so often doing my 15-pound bicep curls, sometimes 17 and a half, sometimes 20. I don't think I've picked up 20s in a long time. And guess what? I have pretty good muscle mass. And I just say that because these are the results that you can get too. And I'm going to bring up a study. I don't just say, well, this is my one. So many fitness people go, well, here's my experience, so it extrapolates out to everyone. No. There's ectomorphs, mesomorphs, endomorphs. I am a mesomorph for sure. You know, the best body type to put on muscle thanks to genetics. But that's not just it. I also do all the other things I talk about on every single podcast. But I'm constantly surrounded by people lifting 50-pound dumbbells for bicep curls with really bad form and lots of momentum. And they're not engaging the muscle much at all. And they're getting closer and closer to injury. So what is heavy? And what is overload for that, you know, in as well? It's really important. Let me go back to her phenomenal question. She says, I switch things up with sets and reps, the order of things, etc. One of the easiest ways to challenge your body, back when I was a trainer and I'd go to someone's home and they'd been working out for a while and I'd say, you know, sit down, do the intake, tell me what you do, and then show me what you do. And let's say they had 10 exercises, 20 exercises that they would do. Generally speaking, people do it in the exact same order. So one of the simplest ways to change a routine around and to overload the muscle, to challenge it in a different way, because it's not just about weight. You don't just overload it. Yes, that's what the term sounds like, but that's not what we are trying to accomplish with our workouts. We are trying to stress the body. Stress the body. The body is stressed, and this is good stress. And it adapts. It responds. And so it's not just by increasing the weight. You can't do that each and every week. Although, actually, it's even in my notes. Oh my gosh, decades ago, I used to work with so many colorful trainers, and one used to carry 1.5, 2-pound plates on a belt around his waist. And so he would like constantly, like someone would be bench pressing, his client would be bench pressing like 200 pounds, and he'd make it 201.5. And so he was kind of slowly progressing in an interesting way. All right, but overload is not just the number, the amount of the weight. It's exactly what this really smart woman said. Sets and reps. I just did a podcast on pyramid training. Variation is a term, if you've listened to my podcast, that I have probably said 10,000 times, and I will say it again. Because the variation of changing around the order of the exercises you do is a great enough stress, good enough stress to force your body to adapt. And what would happen when I would have those clients just, listen, start backwards. Do your ab exercise first, do your triceps, do the small muscle groups, end up at the big muscle groups. So many people who've read a couple articles say, you have to do the big muscle groups first. No, you don't. If you're trying to do a max PR, yes, you do, because you're going to pre-fatigue your body. If you want to change your body, then you can mix it up. You should mix it up. And so she's doing it. Sets and reps. How many reps you do, how much weight you do. Again, I'm going to give you a phenomenal study that goes against what's in most, not most, all of my textbooks when it comes to hypertrophy. So let me read you one definition of overload principle. This is a new one, and I think it probably goes to a lot of these new studies that are coming out. Because yes, way back when we thought of the overload principle, we thought of first and foremost adding more weight. And then we got smarter. And listen, I have always come at this business from a common sense standpoint. It never made sense to me that I had to increase the weight or I had to go super heavy all the time when I slowed down the reps, when I used better form, when I changed certain things around, I was still sore and it was really challenging. And I thought, you know what? For the most part, this is more challenging than if I tried to go super heavy. Because then a whole host of factors come in. You're basically trying to survive for the most part, depending on the lift you're doing. And so here's one of the definitions, newer definitions of the overload principle. It says you have to increase the intensity, duration, type, or time. This is more about the variation, but they're now using it as the overload principle, which I totally agree with. Or time of a workout progressively in order to see adaptations. The adaptations are improvements in endurance, strength, or muscle size. This is all over the place, but it goes to the point I'm trying to make. We are trying to get the body to adapt. Here's a perfect example. It's rare that there's a perfect example. I can lift super heavy. Let me back up. Let me tell you what I've been lifting forever and mixing it up. And I've run really far distances and done Ironmans and ultramarathons and things like that. I go to take a Pilates class and I'm crippled the next day. Many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Is that overload? Yeah. Is my body going to adapt to that new stressor that I put upon it? Yeah. And so when we take all of these different variations, that's why all of these shows that are on specific workouts, the takeaways that I'm giving to you, are to constantly add to your exercise arsenal. So you have this toolbox just filled with workouts and concepts to keep variation in your program. Intensity, duration, type, or time. Yeah, that's how you change your routine around. Some days you go long and slow. Some days you do your high-intensity interval training. Some days you use free weight. Some days you use machines. Some days you do body weight. Some days you do a mix of the three. And all of these people saying there's only one way to do things. Yeah, because they're trying to sell something. Or most likely, that's what they really enjoy to do. That's what they really enjoy doing. And let me say this. I am most proud of the fact that I am injury-free at my age. Yeah, I got aches and pains, but nothing that prevents me from doing what I wanted to do. Did I lift heavier when I was younger? I lifted heavier. I never lifted crazy. And what does that term mean, right? What is crazy? I understood the risks, and I understood what I was going for. And my goal was not to be a power lifter. There's people listening who are power lifters and going for max. That's different. This is different. Of course, specific adaptations to imposed demands says that if you want to get stronger, yes, then you need to constantly increase the weight, because that's your goal, is to lift as much as possible. Still doesn't mean you don't vary things around, but that was never my goal. And guess what? You get stronger by lifting moderately heavy things too. You do. And again, the research shows that. I'm going to read you a couple articles in a second, a couple studies. So we're talking about stress, stressing the body, good stress, so it adapts. Anything different, anything new, doesn't have to be just the weight. We'll bring that about. And so let's just go through goals really quickly. After, a certain age, goals kind of change. Sure, when I was in the gym and I was younger and a trainer, it was more focused on lifting heavy weight. But again, I was still never that guy. I was doing more of the sports and the triathlons and the running. I wanted to be injury free. Sure, I wanted to look good. It was more about the vanity. But truthfully, I never really cared how much I lifted in the gym. Some people, I get the people that do. If that's your thing, I don't want to yuck your yum, as I say, then that's your thing. But it comes with a greater likelihood of injury. It just does. But you're willing to pay that price if that's what you're doing, potentially. All right, so, yeah, max lifts, PRs, then you have to lift heavier. Generally speaking, people after 50, 60 who aren't competing, that's not our goal. So, is your goal to put on muscle? Hypertrophy? Study I keep referring to, it's going to say you don't have to lift heavy. We'll show you you don't. The goals are probably the ones I'm going to list to you now. Prevent injury. Falling as we get older. All the injuries you could potentially get playing recreational sports. We lift weights to fix imbalances and weaknesses. You don't have to go heavy to do that. To decrease aches and pains, you don't have to go heavy to do that. To improve our quality of life, our activities of daily living, make it easier, make it more fun. Don't have to lift heavy to do that. To enjoy your recreational activities more, as I just said, your sports, playing with kids, playing with grandkids. Don't have to lift heavy. And again, when I say heavy, we're talking like 1 to 3 rep max type things. I haven't done 1 to 3 rep max. I couldn't even tell you. I haven't done a barbell bench press in over a decade because of shoulder potential issues. I'll use dumbbells, freedom of movement, significantly less stress on my shoulders, but that's me, okay? And all the cognitive benefits, going to give you 3 studies, 2 which kind of touch on those. Do you have to lift heavy to get all of those myriad benefits? And there's so many more. No. So it's about challenging yourself, challenging your muscles. Okay. When I lift, I generally will go like today. What did I do? Back and biceps. I'll go to a cable machine. I won't even look at what the weight is. I'll do 1 quick pull. Sometimes it's close. Sometimes it's right. Most often it's not. But I've done this long enough that I do 1 pull or 1 press down, whatever the movement is, and I'll know pretty much how many plates, it's a selectorized machine, I need to change it to. To get, for me now, I do 15 reps of 15. Slow takes about a minute because it's about 4 seconds per rep. But that first set, I readjust the weight, and oftentimes by the last 12, 13, 14, 15 reps, challenging without losing form. Perfect. Then I'll do it again. And if I was really close to, failure on the first set, I'm going to be darn close on the second. 30 seconds rest in between for me. And if I get two good sets, I often don't go to the third. I'll just go to another exercise. So it's about those last few repetitions being challenging without losing form. And if you hit it on the first time, you're darn well going to hit it on the second time because you've already fatigued yourself in one set. And then if you do that third set, now you've really fatigued yourself. You've got volume. You've got 45 total reps, 3 minutes of work. When you pick that correct weight and do it with the right form, you don't have to go heavy. And truthfully, if you go slowly, you can't go heavy. I do a 4 to 6 second rep with just about every exercise. All right, let me read you this great study. And actually, the great Dr. Brad Schoenfeld tweeted this out. Had him on my podcast years ago. Got to bring him back. The study is the effect of low-load resistance training on skeletal muscle hypertrophy in trained men, a critically appraised topic. Okay, men, you know, a lot of stuff here that you think might not extrapolate out to you. It does. If you're female, if you're untrained, here's the abstract. Resistance training programs promote skeletal muscle hypertrophy. That means putting on muscle, building size, through the progressive physiological stress applied to an individual. Currently, the vast majority of studies regarding the hypertrophic response to resistance training have focused on either sedentary or untrained individuals. Blah, blah, okay. This critically appraised topic focuses on the hypertrophic response to high and low load resistance training in resistance trained men. Okay, so high load, low load. Lifting heavy, lifting lighter. The clinical question in experienced male weightlifters, does high load resistance training lead to greater increases in muscle mass than low load? Summary of key findings. So they looked at 6 studies, included 4 in the analysis. Each of the 4 studies showed that low load resistance training elicited hypertrophic gains similar to high load resistance training. Here's the important part, when sets were taken to failure. Where did my voice just go? To failure. Doesn't that make sense? And for argument's sake, to just clarify for you, moderately heavy, okay? There's a lot going on here. I don't want to bore you with too much stuff. Evidence suggests that low-load training produces hypertrophic gains similar to those observed in high-load resistant protocols when sets are taken to failure. So same sentence. Strength of recommendation. There is moderate to strong evidence to suggest that low-load resistance training elicits hypertrophic gains similar to those observed in high-load resistance training protocols when sets are taken to failure. Failure. And that's in resistance-trained men. I would argue for those people who are starting out and aren't as advanced, darn sure you want to go lighter, learn good form, build up strength, build up those neuromuscular connections. All right, let me give you Brad Schoenfeld tweeted out a response to this study and said, light load training is equally effective as heavy load in promoting muscle growth in resistance-trained lifters, provided sets are carried out with a high level of effort. You're stressing your body. And there was I've never done this before. There was someone who tweeted in response to this study and to Brad's. It's so bizarre that this is what I'm talking about. But it's worth a while. And this was a PhD-level guy, said, this truly is a revelation. To be able to have athletes use a lighter load when aiming for hypertrophy is huge. I'll say pun intended. It was always, in my opinion, really hard to get athletes lifting heavy load for 8 to 12 reps and likely exposes to risk of injury. Okay, so it comes down to injury, people. I'm not even going to get to the other studies because this is what we're talking about here. And so back to that original question. She probably isn't as worried about muscle hypertrophy. She may be. She wants to put on size. Many muscle women now, I love it. Strong is the new skinny. Women lifting heavier, thank goodness. Heavier, not ridiculously heavy, right? So if muscle hypertrophy, if building muscle is your goal, you don't have to put yourself at risk. by lifting heavy, heavy weights. It's like the Seinfeld episode, like. But you understand my point. This is really important. And I, yes, again, I'm one example, but I am such living proof of this. Injury-free, pretty darn good amount of muscle, allows me to do things like Ironman triathlons and run across the Grand Canyon and back 46 to 50 miles. So the takeaway is lift moderately heavy things with good form slowly. That's mine. For those goals, one final time, if you care about your numbers and you're like a teenager, you know, like 16, 17, 18, 20s, you're doing those competitions, totally different. But that's not what the question was. The woman was talking about her son, God bless him, who says she has to add weight every week. No, manipulate all those other variables, the time, the mode, frequency, all of those things. The goal is to stress our bodies. My goal is to get you the greatest results in the shortest amount of time with the least likelihood of injury. Okay? And for the vast majority of you who are listening, whose goals are the ones I outlined before, right? You're not trying to max PR your bench press or squat or deadlift. And by the way, let me just say this. I do single leg deadlifts. I don't heavy deadlift. It goes against my goals. And I could do it right. There are so many people in my gym, one guy in particular. I can't believe a trainer has not come up to him and said, you have to stop. And he's not going to get hurt in the gym. The back is like a credit card or a paperclip. You have to bend it like 500 times before it fails. And so for me, yeah, I'll do single leg deadlift, single leg toe touches to work on my balance, to work on, you know, running and biking specific strength. I will do occasionally dumbbells, two legs at the same time. That's rare. I'm going to do my squats. I'm going to do things that have such a less likelihood of injury. Am I saying you shouldn't deadlift? Absolutely not. But you darn well better do it with the correct form at the right time. And that's not what I'm seeing from way over 50% of people. Okay? Greatest results, shortest amount of time, least likelihood of injury. Leave you with this. The number of people who have said to me, I'm now in my 50s, I wish I had, and in my business, or people who have lifted, I wish I hadn't have lifted so heavy when I was younger. And I will qualify that with bad form, too much too soon. Be smart. What are your goals? And now listen to the science. The science is saying if you want to build muscle, you don't have to go super heavy. If you want to build strength, you don't have to go super heavy. Go to failure, stress your body, mix it up. And remember that if you're 50, we got another 50 years to live. Maybe 60, 70. You want those years to be quality years. So let the ego go, right? Remember what your goals are. And try my slower reps with moderately heavy weight. It is really challenging, people. Try 15-pound dumbbells slowly, perfect form. 1 or 2 seconds on the up, 4 seconds on the down. Try a 10-second push-up, 10 of them. 1 second on the up, 9 seconds on the down. Now that's pushing the numbers a little bit, but you will get my point. It's about the number of muscle fibers we recruit. All right, Tom H. Fit, as I said at the beginning, thank you for that awesome question. I have the best listeners, the best audience, the smartest. I'm going to bring you the best information with absolutely no bias, based on the science, all right? Tom H. Fit is Instagram, Tom H. Fit is Twitter, fitnessdisrupted.com or teamholland.com. Email me through the site. Please rate the show, follow the show, anything you can do to support. It's a brand new feed. And remember, there are three things we all control. How much we move, what we put into our mouths, and that is awesome. I am Tom Holland. Believe in yourself.